Welcome to the Launch University Podcast, turning good intentions into reality in your career, business, and life. Here's your host, Jeff Henderson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Launch University. Jeff Henderson here with you, and very excited about our second interview with Aaron Eddie Erickson. But before we go there, let me just remind you who the hero of this podcast is, and the hero's you. The fact that you clicked on this podcast and you're listening to this, it means you're a launcher, that there's ideas, there's good intentions in you, and it might be about for your career or a personal life, maybe a new habit, maybe a new fitness plan or financial plan or something that you want to launch. Maybe it's a nonprofit, a for-profit, whatever. We believe that you're a launcher, and that's the reason you clicked on this podcast. But we all know that launchers need help. Launching can be very, very lonely. That's true for entrepreneur or even an intrapreneur inside an existing organization. So just want to remind you why we started this podcast. About a year ago, my friends David Farmer, Shane Benson, and Kevin Jennings, and they're fantastic launchers, we started talking about how to take the conversations we were having and provide them for people like you, other launchers. And so for 20 years now, David and Shane and I have been meeting on a regular basis, and we've been holding each other accountable to take the ideas that we have and turn them into reality and sustain them. And along the way, we met some other incredible launchers, and that's how we met Kevin. And so we started feeling this stewardship responsibility. We were having so many great conversations and learning so much that we wanted to just take these conversations and give them to you. So our desire is to help you. And again, remember, you're the hero of this podcast, to launch your good ideas and good intentions. And the problem that we're trying to solve is that there are so many great ideas and good intentions that never see the light of day. They are bottled up in people, and we feel like that's a loss for them and for the world. So if this podcast and our blog and what we're trying to do can take your good intentions and good ideas, turn them into reality and sustain them, we think that's how we can help make the world a better place. And that's what we're trying to do. So today, to help you do that, we're going to learn from Erin about something that she's fantastic at, and that is building an online community. She has leveraged social media in an amazing way, and so this is a fantastic opportunity for us to sit down with her and learn from what she has done to build So Worth Loving and build the online community. And as you learn about how Erin is doing this and has done this, we believe it's going to help you build your own online community and tribe for your great idea and for your good intention. So here's Aaron Eddie Erickson. All right, welcome back to Launch and Learn. And Aaron Eddie back. She's a command performance, Kevin. I mean, she did an amazing job. If you didn't listen to our first interview with Aaron, where you been? It was absolutely phenomenal.
It was incredible. So much so that I have more questions for her than our time will allow. I think she's the first guest to do it for me, at least. Maybe because I was a guest and I don't want to hear myself talk. But she's fantastic. So I'm excited she's here today.
Well, So Worth Loving, and you need to check that out. And again, listen to our first podcast with Aaron. I have a feeling this will not be the last interview we do with Aaron Eddie. But I've also asked Aaron to talk about an area that she is an expert in, and I don't use that term lightly. She really is. And social media. And she's built an online community of over 71,000 followers. And that's probably even bigger as we've been speaking. So Aaron, first of all, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
I am glad to be back. This is so great.
This is obviously social media has really just exploded. And somehow you just knew this. It was kind of organic, which is really interesting. So I guess if I could just back up and say, what can you tell us your approach to social media is? How do you view it as you work with other organizations? What are some of the lessons that you share with them? Okay, here's how you do social media and here's how you don't do social media.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I think the biggest thing that a lot of people that own their own businesses think about with social media, I think they start acting as a megaphone instead of engaging. Mm. And I think the biggest thing that you can do, if you truly believe in what you've created, figure out how to connect it to the people that want to engage and actually engage with them. Was So Worth Loving and how it got started, it was very story-based. I mean, we told people stories, and within that, people wanted to spread the message about what we believe in, and that's self-worth and self-love and self-care. So I think if companies can really hone in on what are the few things that I want my community to believe in, and then how can I actively engage with them instead of be a loud megaphone and mm-hmm. just talk at them, talk with them. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the.
And how do you do that now? It's easy in the early days of So Worth Loving. So yeah. There's 50, 100 t-shirts going out, and that 71,000 and more. So how do you not get in the megaphone? Because sometimes you have to say, yeah. We just launched a new retail store. So where's the balance there?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's definitely there is a balance between putting out informational things for your community and then also putting out something that's for them, that they can take for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think you just have to gauge it by how much if we post, 2 to 5 times a day, I think you have to be consistent with your messaging more than you are informational stuff. And then you just intertwine it in there. Mm-hmm. But you just have to observe and make sure that you're not posting too much.
Right. Now let's talk about that. Let's take a specific social media channel like Instagram. Mm-hmm. You guys are fantastic on Instagram. You're helping us at Gwinnett Church with Instagram. So what are best practices?
Yeah, I think being very consistent.
Okay.
I think if you think that you, it's just like within internally, when you build a team, it's like vision, 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 vision. Think of that on social media. It's vision, 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 and then some information every now and then, but vision, vision, vision. And then finding things to celebrate with the people that are following along your journey as you evolve into a business or a nonprofit or whatever it may be. We have found pieces that we, like metrics that we celebrate. So whenever we hit 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 followers, we always want to celebrate that because they got us there. We didn't get us there. They got us there.
So how have you done that?
So we've done so many fun things. So sometimes we'll do like a sale, or like one time we did 40% off for 40 minutes. And that was insane. we sold so much that we actually sold the amount that we sell in a month, in one day, in 40 minutes. But what we've also done, when we hit 50,000 followers, we said, we're going to give something for free to all 50,000 of you. And we're going to launch it. And we built up the hype. We built it up for like 2 weeks. Like once we hit 50,000 followers, this is what's going to happen. Something. You just don't know what it is until the day of. And so.
Did you know what it was?
No. Not yet. We didn't. We were like, we're going to give something for free away, but we don't know what it is yet. And so what we did was people got like a phone background, a desktop background that had a really fun message that said, bad vibes can't hold me down. We did a poster, a free poster, and a coupon code. And they had 24 hours to get it. And it was so fun. Like, it was like, wow, my gosh. Like, so now every time we have a milestone, we celebrate and we're getting more creative and trying to figure out, as a business, how to do it financially where there's, not a lot of overhead, but that we can still engage and like just give something for our family, for being so supportive. I think you cannot thank the people that are following you enough. Like, I don't think you can thank them enough.
That's fantastic. And tell me about the dance party, though, because you and I were talking about the dance party, and that was email-driven. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Because I think, Kevin, I think a lot of people, they get, and this is totally understandable, Facebook, Instagram, all that, but email still is a powerful way to communicate if you do it right. And this is a great idea of how to do email correct.
Yes, yeah. So when you go to our website, it says, cue the dance party. We would love to send you some love, no spam. And so people put their email in and write. When they put it in, they get an email that says, and about that dance party. And it's a video of us dancing, like our whole office dancing and just saying, welcome to the family. Like, we celebrate so much because there's a lot of things to not celebrate, right?
Right.
And so, focusing on the things that are exciting. And so that is our goal. Whenever you place an order, you get a gold, it looks like a gold ticket in your inbox or in your mailbox. And it's a gold mailer and you open it up. It's gold tinsel. I mean, we are all about loving and celebrating on people and being consistent through newsletters, through social media, through face to face. I think that's what you have to do.
That's just so good.
Yeah, you're very drop the mic moment-esque right now. I mean, it's getting to that point where I'm like, well, we're only
because it's a pretty expensive.
We're don't drop it literally. We're only 7 minutes in, and I really am like, if you just stop listening now, you shouldn't. But if you do, and you just do what she just told you to do, as a person who gets paid to do this for a living, you're going to do well. I usually charge $1,000 for what you gave you in 7 minutes. And so I think that was really, really valuable. You used the word family twice already. And I can't stop smiling to hear anyone who's an entrepreneur talk about social media followers. And they're like, no. So welcome to the family and our family. And I'm like, that mentality from the top down is incredible. And so first of all, I'm going to affirm that decision for sure, and I'm going to copy it. And everyone will know where I got it from.
Welcome to the family, Launch You.
Welcome to the family, Launchers. Welcome to the family. I'm still seriously going to steal that. So when we're in episode 90 of this thing, and I'm saying family, you all know where
it
started.
By that time, they'll forget.
They'll forget. They'll be like, this is the best thing ever.
That's right.
Sincerely, though, I want to ask you, for you, I know I said being a musician, and calling them fans, I know that people typically think that differently because it's about allegiance and about loyalty, separate of paying money. And so for you, what made the shift a family thing or where did the idea come from to even think of it that way? I love to just kind of hear you unpack that mindset.
Yeah, I think, I don't know why I don't like the word fans.
Amen.
I feel like it sounds belittling, and I know people that use it that don't use it as a belittling term, but especially in the music industry, it was kind of belittling. Like, these are my little fans, and I'm like, I'm equal to y'all, you know? And I think family expresses equality more so than, I feel like fans sounds like I have the upper hand or something. I don't know. Just never really liked the word fan. So family just sounds more, we do life together. You know, we explore our dreams and our passions, and sometimes we fail at it, and you watch it and you support each other no matter what. Mm-hmm. And that's life. And I want to do that with our community and our family.
Well, and the way you have your own personal social media, and then obviously So Worth Loving.
Great question.
Yeah, you know, I think So Worth Loving. I think we're very outward focused and loving on the people that are involved. And then my personal, I think as a business owner in social media, you can glamorize it. There's filters everywhere. You never know if that's really someone's picture or not, you know, and I see it as my responsibility because I'm such a diehard fan of vulnerability and transparency. I need to be that to some respect too, and I need to find the balance. And so my personal social media, I use it as a place. Once I've experienced something, I've gone through the process, I feel like I'm at a good state, I want to express what I went through. Because I think people need to see and hear that, because there's so many rose lenses around on social media.
Yeah.
And because I'm a leader in that, I think I need to also show that, be an example of it in a healthy way.
And that's why people walk up to you and they feel like they know you. Like,
yeah,
we're lost friends and you've never met them before, right? So let me ask you, to go back to the post frequently. So I've never taken a photography class in my life, probably never will. I'm not good at it. And so when I look at your social media account, the pictures are amazing and all that. So help a guy like me who I'll never take a photography class. I mean, how would I up my game from, the look and all that? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, but before you answer that, I want to hold on your answer there.
Okay.
I want to give someone some credit, because I was in a text thread with Jeff, and he used the hashtag squad goals, and I was like, yes! I knew he was celebrating. I was like, who taught you this hashtag? I need answers. I was so excited. I was like, I kind of ignored the whole train of thought. I just started celebrating. I was like, squad goals! His use of emojis is really on point. Where he may lack photography skills, his emoji game is A+. A+. Memes are next, but his emoji game is on point.
That's awesome. So hey, that's all you need in life. Emoji game.
That's it. His emoji game is on point.
Best form of communication.
I love it.
Photography.
I think, one, if you want to get better at it or just like improve in some form, go to a few accounts, explore social media, and look at the accounts that you get it really admired by or inspired by, and define why. Like, why do you like that photo? Is it like, What about the angle do you like? And then practice it. Mm-hmm. That's what I did. I started practicing and just playing around with what I liked and what I didn't like, and then being consistent on using a filter. So then your story looks consistent mm-hmm. from the color tones to the angles and the shots.
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
It is. It is. I need to upgrade my phone too.
Oh, yeah, we got to get that.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well,
it's a little old.
Okay.
All right. Dinosaur age.
Squad goals.
I wasn't going to attack your phone. I feel like he does a better job with everything else than I'm doing. So who am I to talk?
Speaking of all of that, though, could you share with us, like, who are you learning from on social media, or who would you say? And obviously, there's a broad list, but this, you know, just a few that come to mind.
There's so I love to follow Madewell Clothing Company just because for so worth loving. I love Madewell. There's a company called Fuzzco, and they're out of Charleston. They're a design firm. They always think up such fun, quirky things. I love following Warby Parker. I think they do a lot of really fun stuff. So a lot of mine are more like business based. I'm trying to think of some people, like some actual people that I really enjoy following. There's a guy named Brian Schneider that I follow. He's a really cool guy. He's out of Charlotte. I feel like I know him. We're Snapchat friends. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, it's so fun how you can connect with people like that. I'm trying to think. Michaela, her name's Yellow Bird Visuals. Gosh, that girl. Just everything she creates is just beautiful and inspiring. And she sees the world through textures and patterns and color tones. And it's just like, I want to see the world like that.
Seriously. Well, hey, you bring up Snapchat.
Yes.
Which I can hardly figure out, but I'm on it.
And I need to follow y'all.
You should.
I'm more of a Snapchat observer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's some of those.
And I want to get into it because I really think it's actually fun to watch everyone's snaps, but I have not gotten to the point where I can have the moment where, that person say, this is the moment to be snapped versus Instagram. Yeah. I haven't got that filter yet to know when to do what.
Yeah.
People keep trying to tell me how to do that, like when to have the recognition, but that's my problem right now, just knowing when.
You keep it top of mind.
I should probably snap right now.
You should. This could be your first Snapchat. Whoa. By the way. And I'm personally increasing the median age of Snapchat users by being on there. So
I'm impressed that you love it and you're on it.
Well, I'm trying, but what's the difference between Instagram and Snapchat in terms of business building?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's so we use it a lot for So Worth Loving, and we just started using it. And it's fun because we get to show sneak peeks of new shirts, or us going to the screen printer, or us walking into the store, or just in, I don't know, it's makes it more organic behind the scenes. You see the nitty gritty. It tells us a bigger story in like a few short seconds.
Right. Yeah. Gary Vaynerchuk.
I love him.
He says that typically marketers show up late to the party. So they've shown up, obviously, to Facebook, Twitter. They're now showing up to Instagram, but they haven't shown up yet to Snapchat.
Yeah.
And so he's now saying that you can really leverage a lot of brand building right now before mm-hmm. the marketers show up. So I thought that was fascinating.
I agree with it. There's a brand called Everlane. They're a clothing company.
You told me to. I'm kind of confused as to what they do, but they take you on behind-the-scenes tours or something?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Okay. It's so cool. So they've utilized their Snapchat. So they're a clothing company that's very conscious, and they list all their factories, where they're from, where they're located, everything on their website. So you know where the product is coming from. But with their Snapchat account, they feature other companies. Like they took a backpack ride in Uber, or they make backpacks. So they put their backpack in an Uber and it traveled all over, and it was the story of the backpack that was with Uber. So they partner with other brands. It's really fascinating. Like they saw this opportunity, I guess, if they have the network or the connections to show their community the ends of other brands.
Which is really cool. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
So they've really put a good story together.
Yeah, they have.
In fact, I'm going to Snapchat right now.
So,
and there's
what's up,
Michelle
guys?
And Jesse, and then there's Kevin. So there we go.
I need to Snapchat too.
I feel like that's how you know we're really authentic, right, launchers? I mean, we're not going to talk about social media. We're going to try to do it right now. Now, of course, by the time you ever see this episode.
It'll
disappear off Snapchat. So too late to see how bad it was. So I'm really happy about that. You will never see my experiment. But sincerely, I think one thing I wanted to ask as a follow-up question, and you talked about this earlier, you said businesses have to define what they believe in. And so what I got out of that was, okay, the first step to really having that familial feeling with your customers and with your audience is if you define the values that you have clearly and articulate them, those who identify, agree with, will come and connect with that. And then at that point, you are talking to people who are sincerely like-minded. So it does shift it from how can I manipulate what I'm doing to sell more shirts to how can I connect with people who are like me and get and agree with what I'm trying to do in the world. And I, so for me, that was a really cool shift. Like, hey, if I'm if I know what I believe in and I communicate to others, then we all believe and we all believe in this together, then it's a much different conversation.
Yes, absolutely. Gosh, I love that.
Well, I'm just pretty much saying what you said back to you. So thank you for that affirmation. So, but I would ask you, when you first started doing social media, you know, obviously with people's stories being sent to you, literally, you know, stories, how did you articulate those stories and how did you articulate your values? Because I do believe that, you know, as a business, if you want to do that, that's great. But when I think about image, that's all I have, or a 140 character tweet, I am a little intimidated with how do I communicate something that's so near and dear to me to the world with such a limited medium if I'm not, you know, a photographer?
Yeah. I feel like people's response kind of shapes a little bit of that. I put out there what's, you know, in my mind and what I'm feeling, and then their response triggers another idea or thought that shapes the vision. Since we are very family and community focused, I wanted it to be shaped by them too and not just what I thought. And too, like, in the beginning when we started So Worth Loving, like, it was just me, but because of that, I decided to find a digital team online where I asked volunteers to help me. So I had like a 3 graphic designers, a girl that donated her photography work. They all lived in different states. And a girl in New Jersey named Melissa, who now is on our team, they helped shape it too by not only the aesthetic of it, but also speaking in their thoughts and how, so like, what So Worth Loving means to them. And I think that's what it's really cool when companies allow their community to respond to how they view that. You get such a bigger insight on what you're doing.
It's cool too. Is it true? I think you were telling me you've never met Melissa in person.
I met her one time. Or two times. Okay. But before I met her, it had been 2 years.
That's amazing. So you're in kind of business with somebody that
You know, I'm pro remote work. I'm very pro remote work. It's just because you get access to people who are like that, right? I mean, it's such a young part of the business's history. You got access to people all over the country with great talent, but they were totally bought into what you were doing,
right?
And I think that had you been required, to make that, you know, depending on who's local, they have a whole different challenge. But that's not the point of this episode. So I don't want to.
That's start, episode 5.
He's like, guys, Kevin's not trying to take over the opinions.
But that's so true though, because our blog editor was in London.
Wow.
So we would Skype at like my time, which was like 7 p.m. and then her time 2 a.m. or something like that. I can't remember the time, but we would have a moment to Skype to talk about the blog, talk about the stories we're sharing. And it was just neat because you don't have to have, like, when you're first starting and you're trying to make an impact on social media and through your blog and through the newsletters that you do, you don't have to have a team local. And that's what I learned. And there's always people wanting to be a part of something big. And
that's worth writing down. because it's true.
Yeah.
And if you can cast a big enough vision, there will be people that want to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've done it again. We've run out of time. it seems like 3 minutes. But before we let you go, I'd like to ask you, what are you most excited about? And what's the biggest challenge you have as a launcher? Mm-hmm. And so we talk about the fact that a launch isn't just the first day or the first 90 days, that you want to launch in such a way that you take an idea, you turn it into reality, and you sustain it with momentum. Mm-hmm. So you're constantly really, our friend Sid Mashburn, who we've interviewed, has said, I'm constantly launching. I launch every day. So as a launcher, what are you most excited about? And what's your biggest challenge, or what keeps you up at night?
Yeah. I'm most excited about right now that we've entered in the last year and a half sustainability. And I used to want to quit every day. And sometimes, you know, you still do. But I am now just like, I'm so excited that we're entering the sustainability where it's like, okay, I don't have to have these thoughts of, is this going to work? Like, it's working. Mm-hmm. And so what am I going to do with that? And we're building team culture now because we're all in this space and now we can spread out and we've never been in one space all together at the same time consistently. So I'm learning so much about personality types and type A people and type B people and how they don't get along, but they can get along. You just have to teach them how to. So that is exciting, but that is something that I'm challenged by. And what keeps me up at night, you know, I've been sleeping good these days. I think it's because we just moved into our new space. I think I'm in the honeymoon stage of it right now. I think managing inventory, I think I mentioned that to you, like learning and there has to be systems and formulas and analyzing all that data that we're getting. And so we're currently working on that right now. And that's been the most stressful thing, is learning how to manage inventory, especially when technically we're in two stores and then our online store, and buying that much inventory and then figuring out all that. That's right. Just.
Well, one of the ways you can help Erin is to buy a t-shirt today with her inventory.
We want to give her inventory problems.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, because we want her to actually have to figure out how to solve this problem sooner rather than later. Yeah. Because she's overwhelmed by launchers.
That's right. So seriously.
Who are support one another. Because I mean, you've done a fantastic job communicating your story and being vulnerable with us. We appreciate that. But simultaneously, you're just a few years removed from the starting point. Mm-hmm. You know, and so what started out as you doing them for anyone who would ask, to selling your first set of shirts on a random Cyber Monday, to having your own store with full-time employees, and that's fantastic. And I think we all as launchers really want to rally around you and just say, hey, you know, we want to support anyone who's willing to take that leap and really figure out how to launch well.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make an official decision for our Launch You team, if that's okay.
Go for it right now.
We're going to have Erin as an annual podcast. How about that? Our first annual.
That would be great.
I mean,
personally, I think you give me the executive decision anyway. So, so at least we're going to do, not even majority.
That's right.
Sincerely, because I do think it would be so fantastic to hear, even a year from now, what you've learned, how things are going. We expect incredible things for sure.
I hope so.
If not, you can always ping us privately. We'll share whatever we can share to help you along the way.
Yeah, we're cheering you on.
For sure.
Well, and here's my daughter's probably going to hate me for this. But so when I told Jessie she's there, and then her friend Michelle, I said, hey, we're going to have Erin Eddy and Kevin, they decided to come. So thank you for the influence you're having on folks like Michelle and Jesse.
Right. Yep. And so I know I'm happy they're here too. So now you have a really great story when you want to drop out of college. I'm like, I'm not taking a scholarship. I think I just saw him start to sweat.
Can I get your parents' phone number?
There we go.
Right. So they need to subscribe or leave a glowing review on iTunes,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah, please. First of all, let us know what you thought about this episode. We really want to figure out how we can get more value out of these interviews so that you as a launcher can be ready to take the next step. And so please email us. Go to our website. Obviously, join the email list. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and probably a plethora of other places by the time this all launches. So we really just want to make sure this is helpful. That's really all that matters to us. We want to follow Erin's example by treating you, our family, really well as we get started.
Go buy a t-shirt from soworthloving.com, and we will see you at the next Launch and Learn podcast. Well, a big thank you to our friend Erin, and isn't she fantastic? And just love what she's doing and the impact that she's having on people. And it all began with an idea, and she started spray painting t-shirts, and here we are. So remember, one of the things we want you to do is to write down at least one lesson, and if you can kind of pay it forward, if you can share that lesson online, maybe link or tag Erin as a way to say thank you, and then link our podcast to your community, that would be a way for you to help us pay it forward. And a couple of other things we would love for you to do to help us in these early days of Launch University. If you could subscribe to the podcast, that will allow all the content that's coming your way to come to you automatically. And if you could leave a review, tell us what you're learning, what you like or you don't like. We'll talk back to us and we'll talk back to you. And then if you, again, can share the link with your community, that would be fantastic. And again, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to help you. You're the hero of this thing. And the problem we're trying to solve is to take those good ideas and those good intentions that sometimes don't see the light of day
and to help you turn those ideas and good intentions into reality, sustain them, and help make the world a better place. So again, thanks for being a part of these early days of the Launch University community. Thanks for being a part of this tribe. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Launch University podcast. We hope it's helped move you from go-getter to difference maker. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. Find more great resources at launchu.net.